And with us now from the Browns Radio Network is Doug Deacon. So, Doug, we watched the final day of OTA practices for this week. Six workouts in the books through the first 2 weeks of workouts. Let's talk first about the competition at quarterback. And clearly, this team wants this to feel like a competition. As much as we say Brandon Whedon would be the guy and very likely and all this, even after Jason Campbell was brought in, the fact that Brian Hoyer is out there now throwing passes, they cut Thaddeus Lewis, so it's a three-man deal right now. And I think the message is clear that this is serious competition.
I think it's serious competition. And, you know, we've talked in the past about having, you know, a veteran wide receiver come in. And although Hoyer is not a real, what you would call a big-time veteran in regards to years, but he's a guy that, you know, had been exposed to Tom Brady and what the New England Patriots have done. And I think, you know, you just can't get enough, you know, people like that that can help the other players. And, you know, he's one of those guys. He's a St. Ignatius guy, and he's a team player, and he's not a bad football player. And, you know, he's really never had a big chance. He's only had one start in the NFL. He finished a game here a couple years ago against New England. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you'd like to see what he can do.
And you make such a great point. You bring him in as much, of course, it's all about what can you do physically, how do you throw the ball, can you make plays. But I think there's something to be said for that presence that he would have in the meeting room, on the field, and be that extra voice, be that extra set of eyes for Whedon.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, we talked last week about Devon Best. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, people have been clamoring, we got to bring in a veteran receiver. Well, you can bring one in, but what kind of guy are you bringing in? Well, Devon Best, from what I've heard from the different players, they said this guy is really something. I mean, he's a good, solid guy that is going to help the younger receivers, and that's what you have to have, because a lot of guys, you know, I think we can go to Seneca Wallace. You know, he wasn't going to help anybody, and you know, if you got a guy on the roster and he's not playing and he's not helping anybody, why do you got him on the roster?
Right, exactly. Yeah, you're just taking up space then. And you're right. So with Hoyer, you're bringing in that Patriot way. You're bringing in an offense that is different than what Rob Chudzinski and Norv Turner want to do here in terms of style. But there are still some concepts of coverage and things in the thinking realm of a quarterback, things that you see that are deeper than I think someone who doesn't maybe work in a scheme like that or work around a coach like Bill Belichick or a quarterback like Tom Brady, that I think you can impart that knowledge on the other quarterbacks here.
It's that, you know, if they do this, we do that, the game. And, you know, different people handle different situations differently. And I think, you know, if you look at the success that the Patriots have had with Tom Brady, obviously, you know, this has become a league of throwers. And, you know, Tom Brady is, you know, among the best, if not the best. So, I mean, there's a lot of meeting time that he's absorbed things that, you know, he can help, you know, the other guys. And by the same token, you know, it's not, you're not counting him out of the race, because, you know, all of a sudden he becomes a viable candidate.
Now, I know you haven't had a chance to see a lot in the way of workouts. I mean, you're here for everyone that's open for the media. But in terms of watching what you see, have you had that moment or moments where you said, this guy at quarterback, fill in the blank for me, is doing it for you and telling you that, okay, this is my job and I'm taking it over? And I'll be more specific. Has Brandon Whedon done that for you yet?
Well, that's really tough when you don't have pads on, because when you don't have pads, you don't have people, you know, in your face. You know, I played with Paul McDonald, and he was great on 7-on-7, but when people started getting flashing in front of his face, it was a totally different world. So, you know, in these drills where there's no contact, there's no press coverage, there's, you know, not a lot of those things going on, it's tough to evaluate, because, you know, the time frame and the lack of people in your face.
And there's a learning process going on, too. I know people hate hearing that, but this is a new system. They're in the middle of installing it. I mean, they really aren't even done with all the offensive installs. So that's happening, too. And each day, for these guys, it's a progression. So by the sixth workout, they're seeing different things today than they saw five or six practices ago.
And we also have to remember, this is a very young football team. I think Joe Thomas is probably the oldest guy in the offense. And, you know, you know, tells you that it's a learning process, and a learning process not only for young people, but going from one offense to another offense, you know, their minds are swimming. And, you know, once it all settles in, and, you know, I think, you know, Chud said it one day, he said, we just want to see how they handle the mental aspects of what we were putting in today. And that's what you're trying to evaluate, because you, in the game of football, you got to be able to think on your feet.
You know, I limit the observations I make in this in these types of workouts to things like, okay, how accurate is he on a deep ball? Because you can tell that, and it's not accuracy in the face of a real rush, but it is how well does he throw it, and then the receiver runs the route or whatever. I think Whedon has that hands down. I think his deep accuracy is the best of the quarterbacks that have been out here, and that included when Lewis was here. So I give him that as a starting point. The other thing then is decisiveness, decision-making, where he goes with the ball and how quickly he gets it out of his hand. It looks like he's doing a better job of that. I don't know if it's sufficient enough. If North Turner would sit here and tell you it's exactly the way he wants it, I'm sure he wouldn't. But at least that, too, is another factor that I've seen in Wheaton.
Well, that gets into the learning process. And, you know, obviously it's a different offense, but it's one I think is more suitable for him because he's going to be in the shotgun more. He's going to be throwing the ball down the field. And as you've said, you know, he, as far as the arms down the field with accuracy, he's got that. And, you know, in hindsight, you know, last year might have been good for him because he's going to still have to throw underneath the, you know, the coverages. So, you know, he got a lot more exposure to that than probably he wanted to last year.
Yeah. And when you see, for instance, the way things are going with Campbell as a quarterback, he, to me, looks like, I mean, the imposing size is there. He throws a nice ball when you see him throw it. I think what's hard to gauge, though, is that he's working mostly with the twos. And it's a different set of people who are ultimately, a lot of them aren't even going to be on this football team, but that's what he has to work with. And you can gauge similar things from him that we're saying about Whedon, but it's done, I guess it's done in a little bit of a different way. His delivery downfield, his accuracy downfield, I don't know, is as consistent, but I do like the way his touch on some of the shorter routes.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around the league, and obviously, yeah, I don't think he throws the deep ball probably as well as Brandon Whedon does. But by the same token, you know, here's a guy that's got a lot of experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's one of the important things in pro football is having people that are willing to help other people. I've seen guys that, you know, they won't give you the time of day, and I've seen guys that, you know, they think they're a coach for you, and those are the guys that, you know, that you want on your football team.
Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network joins us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So a couple of things on the injury front. The injuries do happen even this time of year, and you hope they're not as severe as what we've seen in places like San Francisco with a Michael Crabtree suffering that Achilles injury. But Trent Richardson not out there, and he's been sidelined for the bulk of this week dealing with a leg issue. So he's not out there. And then you look at Jordan Cameron, also missing a little bit of a groin pull or whatever that Coach Chudzinski talked about today as well. In May, I don't know that you can get all that concerned about things, but it's May and you want to see these guys in non-contact drills. You want to see them participating as much as they possibly can, especially a guy like Jordan Cameron.
Yeah, because, you know, he's a basketball player making a transition. And, you know, all the reps are so important to him because he's going to see different things every time he's out there. And by the same token, it's important to Trent Richardson, too, because last year he missed all of training camp. And I just felt that he never really grasped the stretch play. I mean, and, you know, as powerful runner as he is with the, you know, the talents that he has, he didn't maximize his ability. And, you know, the other concern is both of them were hurt last year. So, you know, you need people that are going to give you 16 games.
Yeah, you do. And I think that's the other part of this with Richardson is that I've said this before. I want to see him get past the point where that's not an issue for him. I mean, beyond it being a real physical issue, but even an issue that he talks about, that he dwells on, because you sense that it preyed on his mind even through this offseason when he was reminded of his number, that it was a 950-yard season, not a 1,000-yard season. That was a very big point of contention. So he said, yeah, but I was hurt.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know many people that play, you know, in this league that aren't hurt because that's one of the big things about playing in the NFL is learning to compensate. I mean, if you got something that's bothering you, you've got to find a way to play with it. And, you know, you can play with a broken hand if you're an offensive lineman. You can play with a torn cartilage sometimes if you're an offensive lineman. But those are the things that, you know, your teammates count on you, and, you know, they want the guy that's going to be there every Sunday. And, you know, obviously there was a couple of the rookie running back from Tampa had a nice year last year. I mean, that should be a motivational factor, you know, for Trent.
That's a great point. And to the point of tight end, without Cameron in there, I do think, obviously, it gives the Browns a good chance to take a look at Gary Barnage, that they brought in free agency, and see what else Kellen Davis, to see what else they have at that position. But I don't know that anybody, when he's healthy, when he's right, when he's doing it the way you expect a guy with his athleticism can do it, I don't know that there's a better guy to be a playmaking tight end for this team than Cameron. And you're right, the reps are vital. The availability is vital. I mean, you need to know that you can count on him.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the other thing is, you know, like we said, you know, earlier, you're just running against guys with no pads, that there's no press coverage, and there's a lot of things that you're just trying to get your routes down and get a feel for what the coverage is and where the openings are. And I think, you know, it's very important for a young guy, especially a guy that's not, you know, taking it. And I go back to, you know, I was a tight end. They made me a tackle. But every day at training camp, they line me up with six defensive ends. And I, after practice, and I would go against each of them, you know, time after time after time. But, you know, that was the only way I was going to get better. So I think, you know, the same holds, you know, true for Jordan. He's got to get out there and get the reps and, you know, be able to play, you know, a little bit dinged.
Another thing that was noticeable today, Doug, was the fact that on defense, Paul Kruger was aligned at right outside linebacker. He had been on the left side from back with the voluntary minicamp and through the OTAs of last week and into this week. So he was on the right side, and then Jabal Sheard was lining up on the left side at outside linebacker. And the way Ray Horton has this scheme set up, those guys stay in those positions regardless of tight end motion. If the when or if the strong side changes on offense, they stay in those static roles. But Rob Chudzinski was explaining afterward, they just want to use this opportunity to see how these guys look in different spots on the field. It seems like a good idea.
Well, yeah, it's a good idea because, you know, you don't know who's going to get hurt. We're back to the injuries, but during the season, and if you got to put one. And I think you go back to Jabal. You know, he started on the right side last year, and then they moved him over to the left side. And all of a sudden, you know, he played better. So where can you maximize your talent? And I think that's what they're trying to find out.
Yeah. Now, Kruger, though, is a guy who's mostly a left outside linebacker guy for the Ravens, and he thrived there. You saw him come on like a beast with nine sacks during the regular season, but then his 4.5 through the postseason. So I would think that's probably where he's going to be most of the time. You make that investment in him, and I know that's where he seems the most comfortable, and it looks like, even though it's non-contact, he's getting off the ball and looks like he's in a position to make plays if this were contact.
Yeah, and I mean, it's still the other part of it is if you do both sides, they're different, and I think it works on your, you know, athletic ability, because all of a sudden you got to, you know, drop a different way, you got to turn a different way. You know, it's like, you know, you see it in high school. You don't, these kids that don't play multiple sports anymore, guys that play basketball, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they go out to the football. Yeah. But if you're an offensive lineman, pass protection is basically the same thing as playing defense in basketball. So, you know, I think, you know, by getting them to do different athletic moves, it just makes them a better athlete, and it's going to make them a better football player.
Doug, thanks so much, and we'll do this again next week.
Sounds good.
He is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, former Browns offensive lineman, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we have got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.